Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Teach Me to Talk with Laura and Kate. I'm Laura Mize, pediatric speech language pathologist.
And I'm Kate Hensler, developmental interventionist with the First Steps program in Louisville, Kentucky. How are you, Laura?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I think
all
I might have heard a knock at my door, but I'm hoping I was wrong.
Well, do you need to go check on that?
No,
I'll hold down the fort till you get back.
You go ahead. I'll just go peek.
Okay. Today is Thursday, August 5th, I believe, first Thursday in August. I cannot believe the summer is nearly gone. It has flown by. I'm so excited about this month, though. What?
I said once again. Yeah, this is a big month for you, isn't it?
It's huge. We start my continuing education conferences start in Fishers on the 26th, and I have been working feverishly to get all that stuff ready. I'm so excited about how it's coming together. So if you're an Indiana listener and a speech pathologist or a developmental interventionist and want to come, I would love to see you that day and meet you, and be sure to introduce yourself to me and tell me that you listen to the podcast, because that will make my day. I have had some emails from a lot of parents, well, not a lot, a handful of parents who want to come, and I've told all of them this is really directed toward professionals, and if they're coming, like a mom sent me an email today, and she said she has a 2.5-year-old with apraxia, and we're talking about children with apraxia that day, but in the context of the whole day and the whole treatment plan, and while some moms really might be okay with that, I think other moms might think, gosh, this wasn't the best way to spend my time or my money. So I'm leaving that up to parents, but at the same time, this is really, really geared toward professionals, and it's a notch up from the things, from the DVDs and from the things that we talk about here on the podcast, because here on the podcast, even though we have lots of listeners that are therapists and are professionals, we really do try to keep it from a mom's perspective, and that day I'm not. I'm going to get to live my dream and talk about it to people who do what I do and do what we do and that kind of thing, so I'm so excited, and it is an intermediate-level course, and again, while that's not that big of a deal to professionals, I think it's going to be just what people expect it to be and what they want it to be, or I hope what they expect it to be and want it to be. But I do think some moms will say, oh, I wish I had not come. So anyway, I'd never turn anybody away, but at the same time, it really is for professionals. And I'm super psyched about it, as you can tell. And then our other dates in Indiana, I hope to have those approved by next week, by next Thursday on the podcast, so I can announce those. I'm doing some other locations in Indiana, and then we're looking at Ohio, and I've forgotten the other states. The executive producer's not looking at me right now either, so I can't even ask him. So anyway, other places, like I think it's Missouri or Kansas or somewhere, I don't remember, but I'm so excited. It's going to be a great fall for me, so I'm glad August is here, but at the same time, I'm thinking, oh no, I've got to get all this stuff done, so.
But for people who don't know Fishers, isn't that just south of Indianapolis?
Actually, it's northeast.
Oh,
it's northeast
okay.
of Indianapolis. Yeah, okay. Kind of beside Carmel, and it's kind of in that northeast quadrant. And Fishers is, we're having it at a very nice hotel called the Hotel Indigo. Have you stayed at a Hotel Indigo before, Kate?
I've heard of them, but I haven't stayed at them.
Yeah, it's so nice. I'm so excited. I feel like a princess when I walk in. So it's going to be a great location. It's right off I-69 there. So if you go to Indianapolis and we're going like toward Fort Wayne, that's the way that you would go. And again, you can find out all the information about registering for that on the website at teachmetotalk.com. And I probably only have, to date, maybe 20 seats left. So it's early registration has been very good. So don't be like me and wait till the last minute and think you can just show up that day and pay, which is how I do everything in my life. Just pre-register so that you're insured of having a spot. Okay, today we're going to talk about questions from three great moms that have left me comments on the website. And again, if you're listening from Blog Talk Radio and you're a new listener, I have a website for parents and professionals at teachmetotalk.com. And routinely, moms leave me questions about their babies, and Kate and I do our best to answer those on Thursdays. So we'll just get started with this first one. It's from a mom named Nikki. And I did send all three of them, or leave all three of them, a comment on the website saying, if you want to call us with your question, we'll be glad to talk to you about it. But I didn't send those until this morning, so that may not have been enough notice for them. But we'll just go on. But if you are one of the moms who left that comment today and you want to call in, now would be the time to call in. And our number is 718-766-4332. And we'll just go ahead and get started with Nikki's question. She says, I have a 20-month-old born at 36 weeks, so he was early, about a month early. He says about 8 words, but rarely spontaneously. I usually have to say, can you say? He has said about 30 words, but most of the words I haven't heard them more than once. He understands everything we say and brings things when we ask and can point to many animals and objects in a book. He says, what's that? All the time since he was 15 months old. I'm getting concerned, but my pediatrician says she isn't worried. What are your thoughts? I tried your playfulness approach, and he added words in one day, and then she left a smiley face. And she says, I don't want to wait too long. I hope you can give me some advice. Thanks in advance, Nikki. And then she added a comment, and like, that was on maybe one day. And the next day, she says, or a couple days later, she says, although he added a word, I can't get him to say it again. This has been my problem. He says a word once and then rarely again. Maybe I'm putting too much pressure on him. Thanks, Nikki. And so I didn't answer her back because I wanted just to kind of talk about this today. And I've been so busy, I really haven't gotten to type those long responses like I had previously been able to do. But when kids say something just one time and it's just imitated from something they've heard their parents say or somebody else say, that's not really a word yet. I mean, if they said it and we want to be excited and that's successful, but at the same time, until he can say something on his own and he retains it and says it again and again and again, it's not a word that I would count in his regular vocabulary yet. So even though she says he says 8 words but rarely spontaneously, if I were giving him scoring his vocabulary kind of with a word count, I would probably say, what would you say, Kate? I would say he has none. What would you say?
Well, I wonder it's hard to give an exact response because
we don't know, yeah.
We don't really know, but yeah, she says he rarely says the 8. Maybe he does have a couple.
Maybe he
does some animal sounds, or he does some play sounds that I might actually count and this mom doesn't. But it's a couple or none, really, based on this information.
Yeah, she said he says, what's that, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I would give him one then, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Definitely I would do that. And usually, I mean, maybe it is what's that. I've had a lot of sad. You know, it wasn't even, you knew they were saying, what's that? But yeah, that would definitely count. And it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, things I like to hear that she reports about him is that he points to objects in books. He points to many animals. So it sounds like, well, one, obviously this mom's very much committed to working with him and playing with him.
Sure.
And doing that thing with him. And all those, you know, those receptive language things are definitely strengths, and that's terrific. And that I always kind of look at, well, how are his receptive skills before I personally get too focused on how are his expressive skills? Because so often we do see kids who moms are really, really concerned about their expressive skills, what they're saying, and they really haven't thought too much or paid too much attention to what they understand. And for me, that that chicken does definitely come before the egg, and that's going to be my primary focus initially, really. So this mom is, you know, spending a lot of time working on that sort of thing, and it sounds like that's coming along pretty nicely. So,
and she should be commended for that, and that's great. Mm-hmm. So my point about this is what I wanted to say about saying his 8 words versus 30 words or whatever she said, or that if she were having him evaluated and she said, and he's, let's see, 20 months old, and she said he has 8 words, that might lead an evaluator to go, oh, he's just going to be a little late talker, versus
right.
her really saying, but he doesn't really say those on his own. It's all only he only imitates, because if she's saying, can you say ball, and he says ball, he's imitating her. And while imitation is the foundation for expressive language, and that's super, and we certainly get so worried about children when they can't imitate at all, he's still not, again, that's still not, those words shouldn't be counted as true words yet. And,
right.
And just her saying he has 8 words, when really he might have 1 or 2 or 9. She needs to be really, really careful about that if she's planning on having him evaluated. And the other thing is, if she goes into the pediatrician and says he only has 8 words, the pediatrician's hearing 8 words and thinking, well, by 18 months you should have 10 to 15 words. And while he's not caught up, at the same time, that's not terrible. She's not saying he doesn't have any words. She's not saying he only repeats. She's not saying he's only heard a word once. She's only heard a word once and then again. Yeah, she is saying that. Those are the things that the pediatrician might just hear the 8 words and say,
right.
Don't worry about it, versus if she were explaining all of this and giving all the background and saying, well, he really only says a word if he repeats me. The pediatrician may feel differently and
right.
say, let
well,
me go
and
ahead.
Well, and frankly, it depends on the pediatrician as to how in
exactly.
tune they are to language development in the first place. And some of them would ask that question immediately, well, does he say those on his own, or are you saying them first and he says them? And lots of them would not. They'd say, 8 words, that's not too bad, I'm not concerned, see me when he's
yeah.
2. I mean, we
exactly.
get a lot of referrals from those see me when he's 2 responses
exactly.
from pediatricians, because they tend
well,
to, sorry, go ahead.
Well, and they have that milestone or whatever developmental screen they're using, and I do think most pediatricians now are using some kind of developmental screen where they're asking moms to fill out a sheet in the waiting room while they're waiting, or when they get in, the nurse says, let me just zip through these skills. Is he doing this, 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 this? And by 2, somehow a kid who at the 18-month checkup who said nothing and the pediatrician isn't worried, and then all of a sudden – at 2, I think a lot of moms are surprised when they go back in and the pediatrician says, wow, they don't have any words, and he's 24 months. And I've had moms say to me, yeah, and I've been telling you this since he was 12 months old, and you told me not to worry, and all of a sudden today we're going to get worried about him.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a big milestone. And the truth is, 50 words is not for the kids that are doing fine with language. Kids that are doing fine with language have 100 words by 2. Kids that are doing great with language might have 400 or 500 words by 2. So that 50-word thing is just the bare minimum that a kid should have. And I think a lot of pediatricians don't really tell moms that either, or may not really even think about it that much, that they do, because they know that screening questions really are designed to be broad and that they don't want to over-identify children that need help. But at the same time, a mom might say, oh gosh, in his whole life he's said 50 words, and not really clarify that he doesn't have 50 words that he uses every day, and he's sure as heck not putting together phrases. And again, 50 word minimum vocabulary by 2, and using spontaneous phrases, more cookies, bye-bye daddy, go sleep, want swing, where's ball, those kinds of things. He should be saying those little short phrases all the time, all day, by 24 months. And I know pediatricians aren't talking about that.
No.
So,
I don't think they really do. Like you said, they kind of refer to the checklist. And so I've had a handful of pediatricians that, I dealt with secondhand through families that really were focused on it. But mostly, and they do, too, is like, how many words? Is he using phrases? And they kind of get to that. And I think some parents, I don't think this mother, but there are parents who would say, yeah, he uses phrases.
All done.
What's that? Yeah,
phrases? These. Yeah.
Right. And pediatricians may or may not ask the next obvious question and, explore that any further. And so even well-intentioned pediatricians sometimes give credit where it's really not due when you're referring to language development. They just Because, you know, in their defense, how many kids they see a day? How long do they really get to sit and talk to a mom about, well, tell me what he says. Well, what are some of his words? Well, when does he use those words? You know, to really get some information. It's just, and I, you know, there are those who don't use the checklist. So using the checklist is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because at least it does clue them in, but
right.
You know,
I've treated lots of pediatricians' children, and they will say, man, I knew when he was not hitting the communication milestones at 12 months and 15 months. And usually I'll get a pediatrician's kid at about 18 months because they're not waiting until that two-year mark. You know,
had a couple that were that were patients of pediatricians whose children got speech or some sort of therapy, and then after that, those pediatricians are really diligent about making referrals.
They are great.
Yeah, they know. They have lived it then with their child, and they recognize there is reason for concern, and it is smart to do something about it. So, yeah, I mean, I've had some, and I thought, wow, you know, that was a really early referral. And then I have one right now, and she said, well, her child got speech therapy. Oh, you know, and she went on to say, and she's a big, big advocate, and that is oftentimes the case, because then they really realize, yes, it's important, and it really helps to do something early on.
Exactly. So, but back to Nikki's question, if you're going to talk to the pediatrician about this again, you need to say what he says on his own, completely unprompted by you, and what you hear every single day would be what you count really as a word, as him having a word. And if that's one or two, well, then so be it. Just say it's one or two because it may prompt an earlier referral. However, I do think that she sounds like a great mom, and like you said, she's working on these things or else he wouldn't be doing as well, and she needs to just keep trying. And this is the other point I wanted to make. The playfulness, that is not something you do one day, and then the kid has the word, and then he can use it in lots of different contexts just because you got him to say it one time. When we work with kids in therapy, they may say a word one time, and then I'm doing everything I can to get him to say that word again and again and again and again. And you really try for 15 or 20 repetitions of one single word when you're playing with a toy. You don't just say, okay, Grady's got that one. I'm going to introduce this new word, and we're going to move on and get that one. Because, again, like she said, he may pop it out one time and then never hear it again. And for a kid like this, I might consider it the best day of his life if he only says one new word in that session, but he said it a lot, 15 or 20 times. And again, if you know that a child has a tendency to kind of learn like that and not hold on to words, he's able to do that pop-out word that we talked about. And Kate, I ran across a note that last time we talked about pop-out words and kind of what those are, and you said the best thing is that you hear children do pop-out words when they're in that a state of emotional arousal, and that when they're scared, when they're happy, or when they're mad. And I think those are good points. And granted, we're not going to intentionally make children mad or scared, but we do want to get them really excited when they're playing with us. And that's why I talk about how valuable the playfulness approach is, and that mom needs to think about that isn't just something that we're going to do one day and he's going to get a word and he's going to have it. She needs to adopt that kind of attitude, for lack of a better word, that kind of interaction style with him, and use it all day, even when they're playing, even when it's snack time, even when it's bath time. And yes, that will wear you out. I mean, at the end of the day, after doing that for 5 or 6 hours, I am pooped. But when you have a late talker and you know that that's worked for him, you really have to rise to the occasion and get him a little hyped up to be able to pop out those words and then retain those words. So she sounds like she's on the right track. I hope she can just keep going and not get too upset about it. And then if they do need some professional intervention, he's almost 2, and she should be able to get that referral in the next few months. Are you there?
Yeah, I was just wondering. Well, I was thinking back to last week when we had the child that was kind of, as I recall, on the cusp of will the child qualify or not, and you said wait until he's 2, and then I was thinking, well, this guy was a month early. They'd probably adjust his age.
They probably would, and I forgot about that whole 36 weeks. And, you know, this is so funny. We had talked about on the show, every new mother wants to pop those babies out, you know, 35, 36 weeks. They're done with being pregnant, and, you know, they're – I just had a friend who – she had her first two babies early. Actually, I think she had three babies early since this is her fourth baby. And so she was due the middle of July, and she started talking about in May, she wanted the baby to come, And I was thinking, no, we don't want the baby to come. We want the baby to be as close to 40 weeks as possible, because even babies that are 4 weeks early sometimes struggle, and they may not struggle to breathe when they're born, and medically they may look fine, but developmentally you could still have a pretty tough row to hoe with even a, you know, a 4 week preemie. And so that, you know, that's a real contributing thing. And you're right, Kate, they will adjust until a baby is 24 months old, and at the second birthday they don't, we don't correct for prematurity anymore, but until then we do. So really the pediatrician probably is going, and 19 months, 8 words, he's okay. And kind of blowing it off from there. That's a great point. I'd forgotten about that.
Well, thanks. I'm glad I spoke out loud, because I was thinking that you were supposed to know that it was in my head and then, you know, share it.
I'm not really reading your mind through the phone today, so if you want to just pipe up and say it yourself, that
okay,
would be
okay, I will. Well, that's what I was thinking. So, you know, I think your advice is this mom to be very specific and really honest, not that she would be dishonest, but she sounds like she's so
right
in tune with it to say, he said 30 words. You know, it so depends
right
on the nature of the mother. Some moms with this kid
yeah
say, he doesn't talk at all. This mom has
right
tried and really, really focused and really knows, you know, probably could give you 29 of the 30 words, which is
right
terrific. But so to encourage her to be, because in my practice these days, I would ask a mom, how many words does he have? And this mom might say, oh, 30. And I think, 30? Pretty good, you know.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, you know, any more, my go-to question is, how many words does he use in a day?
Yeah,
because
me too.
Usually,
and I clarify it, yeah.
At the, you know, usually parents, that is a better, more accurate response to the question in my mind of how many words does he have? How many does he use in a day?
And I do think it's the good, really, on top of things, mommies that would say that, because I have a mom we just filmed for the little boy, filmed our therapy session. We filmed in 2 weeks in a row now for my upcoming conferences, and I might have shared this before, but she said it again this week when my husband is our executive producer. It was there filming the therapy session, and he, you know, was asking questions about him, and he's a cute little kid, and we were talking about him, and he's asking the mom, and, you know, my husband's so chatty and personable anyway. He's in there gabbing on and on and on and asking questions, and so he said to the mom, you know, how many words do you think he has? And she said 150, and I went, what? And she said, oh, that he said it his whole life. I really have kept a list.
Oh, no.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, and this is a kid that I really, I think it's an amazing day if we can get 15 different words and signs.
150.
It's a really complicated, yeah. You see, I said, where did that zero come from? He's a kid with a really complicated medical history, and I'm not going to get into all that for, I'm just not going to get into all that for confidentiality and stuff, but although I'm sure she would not mind me telling me a story, but she, you know, she's a great mom, and again, she has had to monitor so many medical things about him that it's not a surprise to me that she's written down every word he's ever said, but he's a kid like it sounds like Nikki's little boy is. He might have said that word once 7 months ago, but it's written down on a list. And, as, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, please don't tell me that you're going in telling his neurologist that he has 150 words. Please don't tell me that you're telling the ENT that just took out his, you know, that he just had some procedures.
I
didn't, you know,
laugh.
Please.
But it, I mean, it's because it is the moms who are so on top of things who,
right.
who would say that. And, you know, we love those moms. So I don't want anybody
Absolutely.
To say,
I adore
for looking
mom.
At because those
I adore
are the moms
her.
That, you know, the flip
right.
side of that is those are the moms who do everything we ask them to do with their kids. And
exactly.
we love that. So, you know, if she wants to yeah. think of it as 150, that's great. Just probably not give that report to those professionals.
Exactly.
Because then they're going to get a skewed view of really
exactly.
how the child
and,
is doing.
Yeah,
so.
And think he's doing much better developmentally and with language, and language is our primary, in addition to all these medical things, developmentally, he's really, you know, his gross motor skills are coming along. They're not age appropriate, but, you know, he's functional, he's walking, he's running, he's climbing, he's eating, he's trying to do some self-help stuff with self-feeding and stuff, and then if she pops out, oh, he has 150 words, they're going to go, well, what are we worried about language for? With
mm-hmm.
looking at this little medical history, he's doing great, and that is so not the case. So
mm-hmm.
you do have to be really, really specific when you're reporting those things. But it is the great mommies who might overinflate a little bit.
Right, or just be so exact about it that in at the end
right.
it is overinflating. Because some people,
right.
and I didn't used to ask, you know, oh, he has 30 words. And I ask it every time anymore because it's not,
yeah.
you know, sometimes I know just having, meeting the mom and getting a feel for how things are in the home, I kind of think, yeah, this is what I'm going to ask. But I just ask them all so that I have that answer because really that is a reflection of how many words. And then I say, now, does he say those words on his own? Or did
right.
you tell him ball and he says ball? And normally they, you know, that's more obvious to them, and they'll say, oh, I said ball and he said it. Okay, you know, which that's a good thing, but it's not really the same as using a word on his own because he thought to say it.
Exactly. All right, we've used 30 minutes nearly talking about this question. We're 10 minutes over on this question. We've got to move on.
Okay.
We have three questions to do to Kate, and I was to do today, and I was telling Kate right before the show, okay, that means 20 minutes a question, and I look at the clock, and we are 10 minutes over already. How can we be so behind, and the show's only halfway over? Okay. All right, next question. It says, I don't have this mom's name, so sorry about that, but she says, when I did the cut and paste, I guess I left it off. She says, hi, I have a 22.5-month-old who says about 75 to 100 words, some clearer and more complete than others, but definitely a wide vocabulary between nouns, pronouns, actions, descriptives, etc. On any phrasing, however, he struggles, and it is limited at best. I do, in quotes, is a phrase that he says, and it's very clear often. Oh, that's cute. She says, but not sure that he sees it as a phrase as much as another word, and I think she's exactly right about that. I do is, and other things, I'll go on and read some other examples. She says, for example, all done, no more, et cetera, are all blurry, like all done sounds like all da, whereas done is clearly done, and as when it's a standalone, and then she says, help and me are clear words, but when he combines them, help me is a blurred combination of these two. Give me is a fast gibby, and so on. She says, should I be concerned, or is this how it progresses? He does not seem ready to put together a description with a noun, although he loves to evaluate big, little, colors, etc., just not tying it to the noun. And she says, he was a bit late getting his words, so he went from a few words to his current state in just the last 2 to 3 months. We bought your DVD, and the expansion part is great, but I'd like to know what you think on getting him evaluated or other steps, or does this sound pretty normal in terms of getting to the next step with phrases? It's hard to tell when you read so many different opinions out there on the web. Thanks for all your tips. Okay, so he's 22 and a half months old, and he has a pretty big vocabulary. And she said the problem is that he's not sounding very clear when she feels like he's doing phrases. And, again, I would not really count some of these that she said as phrases yet. I think about those more as what we would call holistic phrases, meaning that the child really is thinking of that combination as one word. And she said that, too, with her example with I do. She said she's not sure he sees it as a phrase, but as another word, and that's probably true. And he is 22 months old, so he should just be starting to add some phrases, so it sounds like he's trying to do this on his own, and she's mostly worried about when he combines them, he's losing some of the sounds and it doesn't sound as clear as those single words. And I think, again, we've got another case of a great mom who is working with her child and who is using the strategies from the DVD. I assume that it's Teach Me to Talk because expansion is a whole section on there. And it sounds like he is just in the initial phases of doing this, and she should just keep doing what she's doing, and that with additional practice with these phrases and as he keeps adding words to his vocabulary, that articulation stuff will probably work itself out and those words will get clearer and clearer. And that's my take on that. Kate, do you want to add some other things with that? I'm sure you do.
You're just sure of that, huh? Well, what would I add to that? I mean, again, yeah, sounds like she's doing great. I would wonder, he says the 75 to 100 words. I'd like to think those are words that he says on his own. So he's
right.
Laying his shoes and his coat and his drink or his juice and his mommy and his daddy and his, you know, all those are words that he says on his own. And assuming
and
that.
And she does say he's got a wide vocabulary between nouns, pronouns, actions, and descriptive words. And
mm-hmm.
those are, I think that she's looked at that because.
Right.
I
well,
really
he
talk
likes,
about on the
it DVD. Sounds like he likes to talk about things being little, big and little, and those
right.
descriptive terms, which I like. I mean, I think whenever I have a child who seems to understand those and respond to doing things like that, and they do it themselves, I think, oh, that's a good sign. Language is really meaningful
mm-hmm.
to this kid. It's not just
right.
label the object. And I've certainly had those kids that they like to say, big, you know, big, and look
yeah.
at you. And it's like, yeah, you're pretty smart, aren't you? That is the big one, you know, or
yeah.
funny, or, you know, whatever
yeah.
term.
Yeah.
And I don't get, I get some of those, but lots of the kids I get would never use those words spontaneously, certainly
right.
not at 22 months. And when I get a 22-month-old, I'm always kind of secretly I'm impressed by that and think that's a really good child. Yeah, this is a good thing that this child picks up on that and understands that. And I wouldn't be terribly concerned that he's not saying big truck. He's just saying big because I think, you know, expressive – on an expressive level, he's not really ready to say big truck yet.
That's
sounds
right.
like he's close, but and she's doing exactly what she needs to do to get him there. Laura, I don't know, is it in Teach Me to Talk that you have the examples of using like carrier phrases, or is that in a different?
That's actually in Apraxia, in Teach Me to Talk with Apraxia and Phonological
okay.
Disorders. But on the website, there's a good article about how children move from words to phrases, and it's called Making the Leap from Words to Phrases. And it is a big step for many, many children. Children with language delays who they've had difficulty assigning meaning to words and then using them together, children with motor planning problems and sequencing issues, meaning that they have a pretty big single word vocabulary, but they can't quite get the two words together. You know, the whole sequencing piece, and those children might go on to get a diagnosis like apraxia. But it's not, if he has this many single words and he's 22 and a half months, I would doubt that this, even if it does turn out to be a motor planning issue in that he's having difficulty sequencing sounds and words, that it's, even if he got that diagnosis later on, he is doing so well.
Right. I was just trying to make the point. I would encourage her to
yeah.
look at that article because
right.
I think it, you know, doing things like modeling for him by whatever the toy that and things and always doing it with kind of old words that he's had, whether it be ball
yeah,
or car.
Core vocabulary.
Or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that he's used for a long time. And if he does bye-bye well, and I would say try modeling just bye ball, bye daddy, bye dad, bye. Because a lot of times those are kind of my go-to strategies with kids when, boy, those phrases just aren't coming easily. I get that article and I reread it and I think, okay, and I may give it to the mom and then usually that's a really good, or I want blank. But for him, I would say I want maybe a little advanced, maybe a little too difficult. I would start with like buy whatever. I do a lot of, depending on the personality of the child, if they're the kind of kid that responds to it well, I might do my ball, or, you know, something easy. If there are those, my, everything is theirs, and which, you know, describes a lot of two-year-olds, if they grab everything and say, mine, I'll do that and go
and
to it, my
he
whatever.
Already, yeah, and I think that he already has that concept because I do is his little
mm-hmm.
go-to phrase.
Yeah, he's,
and,
he's
do,
almost
I do.
Due, I can tell. Yep, every, and I've had those kids too, and I you know what? I went to, when I read that, I thought, I used to do I do a lot more than I do these days.
I don't
you know
really use that as, I know, and you know, when I do it, it's when I go through a kid who kind of naturally does that on his own. It's not
right.
something that I would teach. But if a kid got that and that was something he started to say, I would probably even put another word on the end of that. Like
mm-hmm.
if he wanted the car and he was saying, I do, I would say, I do what? I do car. I do car. And really
mm-hmm.
kind of take the car.
Right. Since
and
he has
pull
that phrase
it
and
me.
It sounds like he
yeah.
totally knows what he means when he says, I do.
Right.
Then I think, yeah, then that's kind of the same, use that carrier phrase concept to get them to the phrase
mm-hmm.
level. And since I do, and even though probably, you know, I do car doesn't always necessarily, it wouldn't be the most natural thing to say, it would be something he might be able to say, since I do is
for
very
him.
Easy and well
yeah.
rehearsed for him, then I do
yeah.
car, he's going to get it. I mean, he's going to understand it. It's going to be meaningful to him, and he might be able to, or I do ball. And be really, really
right.
playful about it. That's what I kind of meant about
yeah.
using that, if there are those mind kids. And that's a good point. And I do kid isn't too far from a mind kid. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really kind of the same concept there.
Kind
of,
yeah.
It's mine third.
Yep.
Yeah.
yeah.
But she could really use that. And the other thing that I love that you said is taking words that he's had for a long time. And, again, I think about those as children's core vocabularies. It's a word that those are, you know, it's probably a much smaller set than 75 to 100. It's probably the words he would say in a morning or the words he would say in a day. You know, look at those words and think, how can I get him to combine these and what would be really natural combinations? And again, by and something else. And we have talked about this on the show before, and I remember talking about it a lot just in our own practices, you know, through the years, that a lot of times if you're doing bye-bye, da-da, if you take out that second bye and it's just bye, da-da, that's easier for some kids to sequence because the problem is they can't get that many syllables together. So if you can help them kind of condense it down, that would be good. If he has more, I would definitely put that with a noun, more cookies, more choo-choo, more bubbles, more anything. That's a good one to do. When kids have more and please, I naturally put those together. You know, a lot of kids will be, you know, more pee or more tea for more please. That's okay. Sound substitutions and omissions are really fine. He's not even two yet. So focus on don't focus on the intelligibility yet. And with leaving so many sounds out, because maturation does a fine job of taking care of lots of that articulation stuff that makes all of us as early intervention speech pathologists look good, because you know, nature kind of kicks in and takes over, and sometimes we don't have to work on every blooming sound that children aren't getting. So some of that will probably get clearer and clearer as he gets a little older. He's not even two yet, so it sounds like she's
right.
on the right track and she's doing. And she said he's a new talker. He's just added these words in the last 3 or 4 months.
Right, and it sounds like he got a little worried, got your DVD, started doing things a little bit differently,
right.
and poof, he's making. I mean, relative to where he's been on all of his other milestones, the language has come in beautifully, you know.
Right,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
So.
Yeah, keep it up is what we would say to you, and don't get too overly concerned about articulation. And, you know, I just don't worry about articulation at all with kids until language is really, really where it
needs to be. Well, what I always say to moms is we can't fix it if he's not saying it. He has to practice
yeah.
saying it. And so every okay. time he says more tea or tutti pee, and he means cookie please, that's another effort. It's just like doing anything. It's not, you know, 99%
yeah.
of the time you have to do it and do it and do it and do it
exactly.
until it's automatic. And if we
yeah.
want that speech to be automatic, he's got to do it. So don't spend, you know, with a child this age, do not spend 1 minute. I always just encourage moms or parents to say, oh, more please or cookie please, or just imitate for them
Monolith.
What you know they said. Well, I'm saying if the
right.
child says it. you know.
Oh, yeah,
first,
exactly.
First you model it, and then if the child says it, or if lightning strikes and the child says it on his own, you know, go
yeah.
bye-bye, and it's way off, but you know, she knows, oh, my gosh, she said go bye-bye. You just say back to him, you want to go bye-bye, so that he hears the way it's supposed to be said, but he is totally rewarded for trying on any level. So,
exactly.
And those things, too. The more he says it, the better it's going to get. So don't, I at this age, I'm thrilled with an effort.
Me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
And it does sound like he's coming right along, and she should just pat herself on the back and keep doing what she's doing, because it sounds like he's going to get there. And I hope that this mom will listen. If she's not even listening live, she listens later and will write us back in a couple of months and let us know how he's doing, because I do believe that he will come right along. So she
right.
needs to keep up all her good work. Okay, let's move on to the last one. We've now made up our time deficit. We're doing great. Okay, last question. I think this is from a mom named Kavita. She says, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, too. She says, Laura, first I must salute you for the help you're providing to the concerned parents. Thank you so much for saying that. Then she goes on to say, I am a concerned parent and know that there are very few fears in the world that can come close to the fear of possibly losing a child to autism. And as soon as I read that, doesn't that just make you catch your breath?
Yes.
When you read that, it's like somebody hit me in the stomach when I read it. And she says, I have an 18-month-old boy. He has always been slow in most of his developmental milestones, like sitting at 8 months, crawling at 12 months, and then walking unsupported at 16 months. But he used to babble a lot and understand a few instructions like sit down, stand up, and he has lost them recently. He was never very interested in learning anything. Anytime I tried to teach him body parts, he would just start looking elsewhere, showing that he dislikes the teaching. Now at 18 months, he doesn't speak anything more than mama, but not to address me and Baba. So it sounds like he's babbling or making, you know, just using little random vocalizations. She says he doesn't point at anything, doesn't look when I point, doesn't understand most of what we tell him. He seemed to have some sensory issues with his hearing, as any time I started singing, he will instantly look back in my eyes and smile. That's a plus, Kavita. That's a great one, and we'll talk about that in a minute, how to keep using that. He keeps checking sounds of objects in the house, like the chair, the wall, the floor, etc., with his finger or any solid toy in his hand. That sounds like he bangs and throws quite a bit because he
mm-hmm.
wants to hear it, or that's her read on that. His obsession for hearing how anything sounds seems to make, oh, here we go. His obsession for hearing how anything sounds seems to make him want to throw everything on the floor. As a baby, he loved to throw on hardwood and used to crawl from the carpet to the area with the hardwood to hear how the object would sound. He loves the sounds of wind chimes, doors opening and closing, etc. He is normal in other areas. He loves to play with us and his brother. We've had 3 nannies so far, and he's been very friendly with them. He has great observations. He loves to keep moving his hand to see his shadow moving, loves to play peekaboo, shake hands, high-five, flat pages of the book, follow any sound like of a car. He does walk on his toes, but so did my husband and my elder son, and they never had any speech issues. We have an appointment next week with a developmental pediatrician to go over this, but the scare of him having autism is making us crazy. I read your post and thought of asking you if you come across such children and what is the best way to help them. Thanks so much. Well, Kavita, I have seen children a lot like your little boy, and he does have many red flags and things that I would be concerned about. I hate that he's lost some skills, and that, again, is, I think, the biggest indicator, and lots of parents with children who go on to be diagnosed with autism report that the children have had some words and then they've lost those. So I understand your concern, and she's also said that he's been slow in a lot of his developmental milestones and didn't walk until later. She also said some things that she kind of characterizes one way that I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as that. She said, anytime I try to teach him body parts, he would just start looking elsewhere, showing that he dislikes the teaching. Really, what I think that means is he's not interested in, it's not interest. It's that he's not processing. He's not understanding what you're saying. And it's not that he's just disinterested in teaching. it's just not meaningful for him. And so what you do with kids like that is something she's already discovered. If he likes singing, boy, I would sing all day long to him if that's how she can get his attention. And you use music and you use fun little games that he responds to help him want to interact with you and be with you and learn from you. And so that's how you work with a kid like this. You find out what he does respond to, and then you use that to teach body parts or teach any, you know, milk, teach any word or any kind of skill that you would use. You know, you go for what seems to work for him, and then you that's how you work, or that's how you work toward language with him. She says she is cued into his sensory issues and says that he likes to hear things. Sometimes children do throw things because they like the sound of it on the floor. Sometimes they just throw to throw, but this little boy seems like it, that is what he's doing. Some of the things
also had throwers that I thought it was kind of a visual stimmy kind of thing. They like, you know,
yeah.
It's not necessarily the sound, although it does sound like her read on that may be right, because he likes the wood floor, and he, you know, does tapping on
chimes.
The wood floor. But I've had plenty of throwers who my read on it was, and, you know, unfortunately we can't ask an 18-month-old who's not communicating, why do you throw everything that you get your hands on? So a lot of it is just kind of our interpretation, you know, and experience with other children and kind of, and we spend lots of our time with our kids trying to figure out what makes this kid tick. Why does he throw everything? Why does he like to look at his hands? Why does he respond to the music? And then using it to our advantage to make the progress we're all hoping to make. But in any case, this may be a sound thing. It may partly, it sounds like he does engage in what I would call some visual stimming. He likes to focus on his hands, and she's assuming, and probably rightfully so, that he likes the shadows. She's caught him watching the shadows off his hands, and that's a really, really visual kind of visual stim. For whatever reason, that change in the angles of the light is very stimulating or
arousing. Yeah,
or
somehow. Yeah.
Sometimes I see kids use them almost to self-calm, and sometimes I see kids use them to get kind of a buzz from it, for lack of a better word. But for whatever reason, that visual feedback he's getting from his hands moving in the light and seeing shadows is engaging, very engaging for him, far more engaging than mommy talking about her eyes right now, you know, which, I mean, I'm not faulting her for that. But, you know, I'm just saying she knows he likes that. She understands to look at her child and say that he really likes. And so my read on him would be, yep, there's some visual stuff going on. He's getting lots of feedback visually, and he's getting lots of feedback auditorily, and he likes those things, and he's seeking out ways to meet that need, and that needs to be kind of her clue for what might work for him. The other thing she doesn't say, Laura, is, and you know, I always give my disclaimer, I don't, other than being good friends and doing the podcast, the DVD has been your baby, and it's wonderful, but she doesn't say she has it. I would say, buy it, you know, yeah, I don't know, because I'm worried about this little guy, you know.
Yeah.
The losing him to autism.
Well, and they are doing the right thing. They're taking him to a developmental pediatrician, so that's super. But beyond that initial evaluation, there are lots and lots of things that she needs to get on the stick and do with him at home, and it does sound like she has made a good effort. She's written all these wonderful observations. And so she is doing a good job at kind of uncovering his issues, his strengths, his weaknesses, what he likes, what he doesn't like.
Figuring out what works for him, what doesn't, absolutely.
And so she needs to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Let's say that for 10 more minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I suspect, here's my read on autism. Kind of depends who you see as to whether or not a child gets a diagnosis. So I'm not going to predict whether or not this child, not that I could reliably anyway, since I only know this little snippet of this child, but she gave a fair amount of detail. Whether he gets a diagnosis of autism is not, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing
right.
is that she already has identified some real big areas of concern, and she has also identified some real strengths for him. He does have some
sure.
social strengths that I would feel good about if I were working with him, that he likes to play peekaboo. He likes to play with mommy and maybe a sibling. He, you know, so he does have some social strengths, and I always and feel good about a kid that has that when I meet a child, because I think, well, that certainly gives us a foundation to build on. So, you know, I wouldn't say, I would encourage her to not get too focused on whether he gets that big A word diagnosis.
Right.
I had
especially
therapist refer to it that years
months.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah.
She
really needs, and I suspect that, I'm hoping anyway, that the developmental pediatrician will, whether the child gets diagnosis or not, refer them on to their state's early intervention program. I hope they're in the United States so that that's an option. And I hope that she does her homework and gets some great therapists on board. But having said all that, you and I both know that really what's going to make the single biggest difference, no matter how everything plays out, is what she and her husband and extended family commit to doing day in and day out. And so that's why
Absolutely.
I can say in good conscience, get the DVD now. It doesn't really matter whether he gets a diagnosis. It doesn't really matter whether or not they get good there. I mean, it matters. But the biggest thing that's going to make a difference, and these kids can be lost to autism, and I see kids, dare I say, saved from autism, not to say they have a diagnosis or they don't, but I sure see kids at 18 months who seem very, very lost, very disengaged, very self-absorbed, very disconnected, and this guy isn't necessarily those things, but, you know, he has some big red flags that by 3 look so much better.
Absolutely.
That,
and
you know,
even
we
if
know
yeah.
this is the time. She needs to be in the trenches doing everything she can do to keep him with her and to keep him moving forward developmentally and to keep him engaged. We don't want him losing
right.
not one bit of that social engagement he has now, because that can
right.
go too.
It absolutely can. And I always try to tell moms when they are this worried, and I can just, you know, I just want to reach through the internet and hug this mom and say, now, take all of that worry and all of that energy that you're using to be anxious and concerned and keep yourself up at night, and turn all of that into playing with him and working with him as much as you can.
Well, we really just
every
mean
day.
We mean working, but it needs to look like playing. He needs
play,
to be
absolutely
playing.
Play.
It'll
exactly.
feel like,
you know,
work to her sometimes, no doubt about it.
Exactly. And I'm saying she just has her quote-unquote work cut out for her, because she
right.
does need to look at this like, it sounds like she's home with him, and she needs to look at this like, okay, this is my job. I am going to do everything I can to learn about him and what will work with him and what doesn't. And again, she's got a great story already started. I mean, I would love to have a kid on day one with a mom who says he lights up when I sing to him.
Mm-hmm.
He really likes, you know, has a visual thing going on, even though she didn't really identify it as that. I think she called it observation skills or something.
Mm-hmm.
But a mom who said this much to me on day one, I would be
right.
able to give
She's
her some really,
really
concrete
paying
things.
Attention. Yes.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
in tune and, with what's going on with him, and that's where you start. A lot of parents, if a child isn't, you know, it's easy to let kids who don't have great communication skills, or they don't have great social skills, and they are rather self-engaged and self-directed and disconnected from other people lots of the day. Those can be very easy children, and a lot of, you know, in a way, because they are not demanding frequently. You know, they tend to busy themselves
yeah.
and do so for long periods pretty happily, you know, whether it be watching a DVD or tapping the things on the floor or flipping their hands back and forth or watching the pages of a book turn rapidly. You know, those kids, they know what makes them feel good too, and they do it. You know, left to their own devices, they do it. But I can say that without any hesitation, you know, I do think, and would you say start with Teach Me to Talk, as, you know, that's kind of your go-to primary get the idea?
I would start with Teach Me to Talk if I were her, because that really talks about playfulness, and I think that approach will probably work with him.
Oh, for him, I mean, he loves the music,
yeah,
he loves the animation,
exactly.
That's going to be just perfect for him.
Yeah, I think she should do that. The other thing is my new manual, Teach Me to Play with You. She already says
some
of the things that are in there that we start with high fives, with peekaboo. And if he's responding to those games, boy, do I have a list of games for you. And sometimes with those children, that's what we do. I mean, you don't really work on... You work on your language and all your receptive language, your expressive language, all those things in the context of those social games. And so to treat a kid like him, boy, I'd be singing and playing those little games. And that's what our therapy would look like. It really would not be tons of stuff with, I mean, we would play with some toys, but it would be those very simple, easy, early toys that have a visual component, like we talk about nearly every week on the show, the bubbles, the balloons, our toys that have kind of a visual component, like the fish game, the fishing around, I think that's what it's called.
Right.
The ball and hammer toy, because you watch the little ball go down the ramp and come out the door. Those kinds of early toys. And again, you're honed in on what he likes. And it would be toys that have the visual component. And you're going to, again, do everything you can to keep that social connection there, and singing and playing those early little games. And so that manual is full. It's 187 pages of ideas like that can help you build on. And one thing that I do in there, too, is say, if your kid can play peekaboo, try this game. And so it helps you kind of move a child along to make, further progress up that developmental ladder. And it starts with giving you really specific instructions and saying, you know, first we just want him to look at you and smile. Then we want, like in a game like Ring Around the Rosies, then we want him to hold your hands. Then we want him, when you're saying ready, set, go, either signing or saying that word. So it gives you those step-by-step pieces and processes that we as therapists think about as short-term goals. You know, I want to start with this activity, and no, he can't sing all the words to Ring Around the Rosies today, but if today he'll look at me and let me drag him till we get to the fall down part, okay, that's success. If next week he runs across the room after I've done it with him all week and will hold my hands happily when I say, Rosies, want to play Rosies, Ring Around the Rosies? And he understands that and holds my hand, that's great. That's progress. And no, he's not singing the whole darn song. And no, he's not really initiating that yet, but he's moving toward that. And so you get those in-between steps that this is where we start today. This is where we want him to, how we want him to look, and, you know, over the next several weeks. And then, you know, we keep bumping him up and requiring more and more. And that's what therapy is all about. It's taking what a kid can do and then moving him toward kind of that end result. And the manual, I worked really hard on that to help parents kind of understand that process that you use with those little games, that you might start out with him not even looking at you from across the room, and you sing the words to the song, or you start the little rhyme that you're going to do, and they start to recognize it, notice it, and they may not participate 100% the first day, but in 6 weeks, you can make a lot of progress with those little bitty baby steps, those little short-term goals. And so the manual, I think, would be a good tool for her as well.
Absolutely. I was going to say you had an article on your website. I forgot about the book, Laura. That was bad. And it
was okay.
Kind of where, you know, that, well, the book is a recent project, and she's completely
new.
It.
Yeah.
Great. It really is great, and it is way more detailed. The online thing is a nice article. It gives you some ideas, but the book really, really analyzes, like you said, and the idea of, okay, my baby plays peekaboo, that's great, but that's really the only social game he plays.
Right.
And
where
how
can
do
that
I make how
here?
Do I make that anything other than peekaboo is not obvious.
Right.
Lots of people. And
right. Even therapists. Sometimes therapists
even
don't
therapists,
understand that.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you've got to go from point A to point B, and some kids go so easily, you blink and it happens, and other kids really have to be led. You know, they really
right.
have to be helped to get there. But as far as this mommy, I mean, she is doing the right thing. She needs to get that assessment. I'm assuming some therapy will start, but she needs to have that the work that you've done for her as far as the DVD and the book, and no matter how it plays out, you know, and I love
exactly your because he's language delayed. I mean, it doesn't matter if he has autism or not. He
mm-hmm.
has a big language delay, and he's got some nice social strengths that she doesn't want to not capitalize on right now. And so I love what you said about it doesn't really matter if she gets an autism diagnosis or not. And at 18 months, she may not. They may feel that he's too young. They may have her coming back in six-month intervals to kind of keep an eye on him. But again, that doesn't
matter. Or she
may
get a professional, even a developmental pediatrician, who might say, no, he's too social. He plays peekaboo. Now, I don't necessarily feel that way.
I don't feel that way.
But there are professionals who, with the proper education and letters after their names, who do feel that way. And I would say, well, what does that have to do about the fact that this child is completely disinterested in language and does not really
right.
communicate much of anything, whether it be through gestures or
quirks.
All these sensory things. I mean, it doesn't really, and I need to think of a better way to say it doesn't really matter, because I get how much it matters, and I get how,
exactly.
how
but she doesn't,
you know,
yeah.
As
well,
she
doesn't need to get a false sense of security. Yeah, and she doesn't need to get a false sense of security.
Right, because the doctor may say he's too little. Let's see him in a year.
Right.
Meanwhile, you read to him and talk to him a lot. You know. And you know, this mom is obviously trying all of the above, and she she recognizes. This is not working the way it's worked in the past. I think she said she has older kids. I don't remember.
I think she did too, because
yeah,
she has,
and so
yeah,
she knows in her heart of hearts that something is seriously wrong, because he is
so,
not responding the way she thinks is typical, and she's right. It's not typical. So she, but so I just, you know, I'm always concerned when parents do, and I get it. I'm a mom. I know. I haven't had a child with autism, but I've had children with issues, and it's any little thing is a huge blow. And autism,
it is.
And I have given this lecture in the trenches with mommies more than once. Autism is a very general term, and some kids with autism do, in fact, go on to do very well. So don't get hung up on this is what autism looks like. More and more, autism looks like a lot of different things. And we frequently see kids who, at 18 months or even 24 months, look very autistic. And I'm concerned, definitely concerned about how the child's going to do. And at 3, I'm thinking, I cannot believe this is the same child. You know?
And even if they're not completely caught up,
where they need to be,
still look,
their progress
so much
years
better.
And you know, this isn't just our theory. That's why the experts say that's what the research tells us, is that if you intervene early on, that is the best chance of having a good outcome for a child on the autism spectrum. That's just the way it works. Their brains are forming rapidly, and the best shot this family has is to start working right now, start playing / working right now. And this child does have some strength, so, you know, so that's where she needs to put all of her energy into, not worrying about it, but doing what works to help the kid.
Exactly. And I want to point her to some research that I found today when I was cleaning out some boxes. That I found this, and I was so excited to find it. But I printed it in November of 2008, so it may or may not still be on the website. But it's at a website called ACTEARLY.org, and it's primarily a website for families with children who go on to be diagnosed with autism, but it's the Early Intervention Network, enabling families to act early against autism. And the thing I copied was why early intervention matters. And back in 1981, only 3% of the children had good outcomes who were diagnosed with autism. By 1994, that jumped to 20% of the children had good outcomes. And I'm sure that they have more recent studies than that now. But early intervention really, really does matter. And it is the point where you can say, with a lot of kids, it could have gone either way. But with lots and lots of hard play by moms and dads, you know, it really can go the other way, and, you know, your kid really can be a success story. So that's what we're going to end on today, but that's actearly.org. I'm glad I found that so that I could share that today, and my intent is to get something on the website about that, but as swamped as I am, that may or may not happen, so we'll see.
Well, if you get that fancy iPhone, you could do it on your way to your conferences.
Oh, Kate.
I'm teasing.
I know. Well, we're staying with the basic cell phone model, the one that turns on and off, and I can text. That's about it, anyway.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well.
Okay.
Okay. Good show today, and join us next Thursday, 5 o'clock.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.